Adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Back to Juicebox Radio, featured on CITR 101.9 on the FM dial in Lotus Land of Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our online or podcast listeners at CITR.ca or Juicebox Radio. Anyway.
Oh my, go ahead.
I messed it up.
I messed it up.
Anyway, however you decide. Anyway, welcome to our show.
Yeah.
We're very grateful that you're coming in to check everything out. Because, I mean, okay. As we're going for technical difficulties here and all that stuff, and should I be quiet and not mention these things to everybody who's listening in?
Maybe not. They don't
maybe
care.
I shouldn't mention it to you.
They don't
but anyway,
care.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. No kidding.
It's the day of the heart chakra. Julia and I started off the day, actually, doing a workshop, actually, Kundalini Yoga. Free dance, working on the heart chakra.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. Very moving, and got a lot out of it. And Kundalini Ecstatic Dance is sort of available around in Vancouver. So if you Google Kundalini Ecstatic Dance, you'll find Ecstasis Dance and all these other people that put it on. And yeah, we're in the middle of a practicum right now. Someone's doing it for the first time. So it's interesting, and it's my third time around, so I think it was your first time ever, but it was my third. So I got a lot out of it today, and did a lot of clearing and some crying, and I'm feeling like my heart is healing and getting balanced, because there's a lot going on for me in my emotional life right now and in my love life. So feeling a little sad, and... we're talking about women's pleasure tonight, though, so you'll never even notice that I feel sad tonight.
I was actually going to say that might actually help heal a little bit more, talking about it, and maybe suggesting a few different things that we can do, or you can do on your own, actually.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a lot about what Caroline and I believe are very important aspects of female pleasure, but we're going to be talking from the art of the female orgasm as well. I did a show, I don't know, about a year ago with Kim Cattrall's book and Mark Levinson's book, absolutely amazingly illustrated, a New York Times bestseller for quite a while. It's called Satisfaction, The Art of the Female Orgasm. So we're going to be talking quite a bit from that. But we're also going to be speaking from a really cool book called Be Honest, You're Not That Into Him Either. Raise Your Standards and Reach for the Love You Deserve, by Ian Kerner, a PhD, author of She Comes First and others books, I guess. And we're going to be speaking a little bit from that. And then a wee little vagina monologue as well, because it is V-Day.
It is V-Day.
And it's a very big day across the world, supporting, please, you tell that part, you know that part better than I do.
Supporting organizations helping women against, who are dealing with violence in their lives. This year, Eve Ensler, the playwright for the V-Day initiative. There's colleges, universities, all sorts of people worldwide who are putting on this production to raise money. Part of the proceeds from every production worldwide for the V-Day initiative is going to women living in conflict zones. And I actually got to see the UBC production, which we had them on the air last week.
Yeah, you said it was amazing.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. They had an actually really interesting one about the comfort women, and as well one of my favorite monologues, which is all about the moans, which was quite entertaining. Which
are we going to do the moan tonight? If I didn't see you putting a tag there, honey.
I didn't, but I think we may have to show people about the woman who loves to make women happy towards the end.
Okay.
Which I think maybe that little bit of moaning might be sound therapy for both of us.
So, Caroline, what is the first thing that you think about when you think about women's pleasure?
I'd have to say the clitoris or the rabbit, which kind of go one and the same.
Oh, well, I've got my issues with vibrators. I think that you need to use them with caution and not use them too often. We'll talk a little bit more about masturbation later in the show, but since we're on the topic, I really think that vibrators can deaden your cells, and so you have to make sure that the vibrator isn't too strong, you don't use it too often or for too long, and that give your cells, your nerve cells a chance to recover a little bit in between usages. So maybe once every couple weeks is good. I know a lot of women rely so heavily on their vibrators that they become anorgasmic any other way, mm-hmm. because their nerves aren't at the surface anymore because they've been deadened. So approach vibrators with caution, and use your fingers. Like, learn to use your hands, ladies, because you're gonna strengthen your forearm, you're gonna strengthen your hands, which is good for you anyway, especially people who type a lot.
And it's like carpal tunnel.
Yeah, and it's really, can build your strength, and then also teach you what you really like and be able to communicate that better to your lover. So really important.
Note to self, make sure you cut your fingernails before you start.
Yeah, or you can use gloves. If you have long fingernails like I do, you can use, just put a glove on, like a nice tight medical glove.
Nice.
Get the non-rubber kind if you need or whatever. And that works really well. Keeps it from, because there's bacteria in your nails and your nails can scratch tissues and whatever. So, gloves are a really good idea. And they can feel kind of kinky, actually. Can feel like it's not your fingers or something.
That could be kind of sexy for fantasy life, which we'll get into a bit later.
And actually, if you use a glove and lube, you'll find that it actually is a lot smoother on your skin, and it can actually help prolong, because we kind of get worn out. Mm-hmm. We can get worn out. Our tissues are much, much more sensitive and tender than men's tissues are, our genital tissues. So not our anal tissues, obviously, they're the same, really. But our vulva can be quite, the skin is quite a bit thinner there than it is on a man's penis. So they can take a lot more beating.
Sorry, as I laugh. Actually, before we go any further, I just wanted to just also remind everybody if they want. Everybody, if you're out there, we want you to know that we love you, and we're really grateful that you're listening to the show, but if you are out on a Valentine's date, and for whatever reason you're listening to our show tonight, we'd love you for call in. Tell us about your sex stuff so we can live vicariously through your version of female pleasure. Mm-hmm. Whether you're satisfying someone tonight, or whether you are wanting to be satisfied and how that can work, and just different things that have helped in the past. If you're listening on podcast, you can email us, but in particular tonight, feel free to give us a call. You can give us 604-822-2487.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you saying that, Caroline. Thank you, because, we're here. It's 10 o'clock on Valentine's night, and we're obviously not on a hot Valentine's date tonight, neither one of us. So we're dedicated to Juicebox, and that happens a lot. I've had the shows on very inconvenient Wednesdays over the years, and sometimes I play hooky, but rarely I do. So, and you've been on board now for 6 months?
About 6 months.
And, there's been a couple nights where it's been very inconvenient, like tonight, for us to be here, but we're here because we love our listeners, and we love sex, and we want to talk about it. and help you get in the mood. So
let's get into that.
Let's get in the mood.
So before we got into this, we were talking about the clitoris.
Yes, the most important part of female satisfaction, I would think, besides the brain, obviously.
Definitely.
The mind, you know, the skin, those kind of things are larger than the clitoris. There's something very special about the clitoris.
There's something very special. It is, here's Vagina Fact 101. The clitoris is pure in purpose. It's the only organ in the body designed purely for pleasure. The clitoris is simply a bundle of nerves, 8,000 nerve fibers to be exact. That's a higher concentration of nerve fibers found anywhere else in the body, including the fingertips, lips, tongue, and is twice. Did I say twice?
Twice.
I said twice. Twice the number in the penis. Who needs a handgun when you have a semi-automatic?
I love that. Who needs a handgun when you got a semi-automatic? Yes.
And that's from Woman, an Intimate Geography. And that's actually relisted in the Vagina Monologues as well by Eve Ensler.
Yeah,
clitoris,
well,
is important.
I mean, I definitely agree. And in the art of the female orgasm, the clitoris is probably the most sensitive point. So, most men and many women have no idea how much fulfillment, which is sexual, emotional, psychological, physical, can result from stimulating the clitoris fully, like stimulating it properly and fully for the amount of time it needs to be stimulated. When a man or a woman, like I have to say, tonight we're going to be speaking a lot about heterosexual love and sex, but please, listeners, queer listeners out there, just try to insert female. When women go down on women, instead of when the man does this and the man does that, I'll try to insert women sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if we forget, please, we're speaking to you as well. Anyway. So when a man or a lover of women learns to fulfill his lover in this way, his or her own fulfillment is likely to be increased as much as the one who's receiving the clitoral stimulation that's proper and fully stimulated is really the key. And the key to taking full advantage of the clitoris' sensitivity is controlled use of the tongue, lips, teeth, and fingers. And also, obviously, body rubbing as well. So that's how I have my strongest orgasms, is like rubbing body against body. So we'll talk about that as well. But yeah, tongue, lips, teeth, and fingers, girls and guys, that's the key. So if you've not really big into oral sex, you're going to have to work on that attitude. All right.
It's true. And so, I was also going to put in there tongue piercings, too.
Intensifying, yeah.
It really intensifies.
It can be too much for some women. For myself, I would think it would be, but I can see, you know, you've said that it's been really intense. I've had one experience of it, and yeah. I found it to be too intense for myself, but maybe it was the guy, because really key is gentleness. It's really easy to go more intense, like if you want to, if somebody, and it's kind of hot to ask, do you want it harder? Do you like it harder? But it's like, start really soft, start really gentle. That's really important for every kind of aspect of sexuality, to start gentle, and then you can work your way up, and your lovers will tend to tell you harder, like it's easier and hotter to kind of do that than to go softer,
actually,
like back off, you know?
No, it's true, and also it's that whole numbing effect.
About
that in regards to the vibrator, a lover's tongue can do that too, where it's way too hard, where it's like, okay, baby, I can't feel you
anymore.
Can't
feel anything.
Stop.
Exactly, and I mean, guys have told me that lots as well. So, but you know, the woman immediately feels the slightest changes in pressure, speed, motion, and direction. She will feel that on the clitoris. Whatever technique you start with, it's important to sense from the woman's reaction, including the response from her clitoris, because her clitoris will move as well, letting you know that it's kind of hiding away, which means you may be doing something too much, or it can fully come out and fully express itself, which takes more gentleness and more lubrication sometimes. So really paying attention to that.
And just watching too, in case your partner, if they start pulling their legs together, it's probably a little too hard, and you may need to change and ask what's going on.
Yeah. So if the clit enlarges, she likes she likes what you're doing. If it shrinks, she doesn't. And she shrinks her body away. So you have to really pay attention to these signs, you know, not just the sounds, but what her body's doing, what her skin might be reacting like. And obviously her clitoris is really going to tell you a lot.
And the
color. So if you're there,
as well.
Yeah, and color. So yeah, like your pelvis and thighs will relax. She'll offer herself to you more and to your mouth. If she's experiencing discomfort from, like you said, too much pressure, Caroline, she's going to back away or try to push your head away or try to move her body away from your head. That's a sign that she wants you to stop doing what you're doing or just lighten, asking you to lighten your touch.
And not to stop and not to give up on performing oral sex on us, because I don't know about you, Julia, but I've had that where I've sent the wrong message to past lovers where I've told them, I've just kind of pushed my knees together and they've taken it as, oh, she doesn't like oral sex. It's like, no, I just don't like what you're doing and I don't know how to describe how to go about this, which is why this is a great book and I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah, Kim Cattrall and Mark Levinson.
They're
Satisfaction,
married.
The Art of the Female Orgasm, yes.
No, it's really important. And one of the things I thought was really, really neat in regards to about the pressure is the fact that they had a few suggestions in here that perhaps men should practice on their fingers and to try out the different techniques where he should use his lips, his teeth,
lightly, yeah.
Very, very lightly to hold the finger so it stays steady as the tongue touches it. And just increasing the pressure from his lips and tongue can heighten the sensation on the fingertips. And it does that just as much with the clit. And if the woman prefers little or no pressure from the lips and tongue, the man should practice touching with his tongue to his finger without additional pressure from his teeth or his
lips. And then also using, like, men, if you use or lovers of women, if you use your fingers, you can strengthen your tongue muscles and practice a little bit more on your fingers and give your tongue some pressure, because if you kind of gets worn out from your particular lover's technique that she prefers, you can use that to practice that technique on your finger in between to sort of build your muscle and build your ability to do that technique. So yeah.
And actually, I did want to touch on
ever
this.
Elusive orgasms were you maybe wanting
there
to talk about?
There is. Orgasms for some women, it's very difficult. I think you and I are very lucky where it's a little bit easier for us. But in general, I know orgasms.
Oral orgasms? I don't have oral orgasms.
That's true. Oral are challenging. Sexual, like,
for me,
internal
it's pathetic.
Are great.
It's pathetic. I'm like vaginal. I mean, I'm clitoral orgasm for sure, vaginal and G-spot as well. In different ways, and you know, full body orgasm different ways, but like if I could have an orgasm orally, I'd be like singing in the fields. I'll tell you, I would love to be able to be orgasmic orally. So I wish I could suggest to you what to do, but what I've read is that you have to masturbate and learn what you like, and then have a person basically practice that with their mouth and fingers and get you off that way. So I still have to practice a lot more masturbation than I have, and I'm sure eventually I'll get it. And then I'm sure I'll have a lover someday who's totally listens to me and I can communicate with, because I feel safe with them, and we can work together with the skills and the communication, and we'll get there.
I think that's a huge part of it, because I know myself, I can actually come within 2.5 minutes from masturbation.
Right, so
I'm like,
if you can do that, like, you know, you've got a guy can do that to you, like, or your lover can do that to you, right?
Yeah, they have trouble with it orally, which I think it's really important in terms of finding somebody who feels really good, which actually, there's that great book. Why'd you laugh at me?
Yes, yes, you're adorable, that's why.
Well, thank you, sweetie. Where, I don't know, I'm sure most of your listeners out there have heard of He's Just Not That Into You. Well, this is a response to that, which is, be honest, you're not that into him either. Raise your standards and reach for the love that you deserve. And he writes in this, why is it so hard for women to achieve orgasm when all a guy needs to do is glimpse at the lingerie section of a Sears catalog? Some evolutionary anthropologists think that the psychological difficulties works like a built-in monogamy device. Here's the logic. Because the female orgasm is so tricky to achieve, its mastery requires dedication and patience and an extending getting to know you process, which this explains why women have to concentrate to orgasm. This encourages a woman to seek a relationship with one partner, a guy who can spend the energy and the time to familiarize himself with her sexuality. As with getting to know Carnegie Hall, perfection requires practice, 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 though the entree will take you right there as well. What's the entree?
I don't know.
Me neither. I'm going to have to read the rest of the book, I guess, again. But it was really interesting because the orgasm issue is born out of clinical studies. From a purely orgasmic point of view, women in relationships fare far better than single women, as cited by Jonathan Margolius in his book, Oh, The Intimate History of the Orgasm, a 1977 survey by Redbrook magazine. Of over 100,000 respondents revealed that women who were more sexually adventurous and experimental had fewer orgasms than women who, if they had had sex at all before marriage, don't forget this was 1977, so it was a little different then, and many in the survey had not. These women had had it with men they loved and subsequently married. Among the respondents who had had a series of one-night stands, 77% said they'd never reached orgasm during such sessions. Again, that we see that the pleasure-producing properties of the magical clitoris are best served by one good lover than many mediocre ones. And while this Carter-era survey may seem dated, these findings are born, well, they're actually, I think they're really important, and this guy is a sex therapist, and he says they're born out of today in sex therapy. And here's a curveball for us. As it turns out, there are components to sex that outweigh ever even the most sought out after orgasm. And it has to do with your emotional stuff. That's really, really important. And though it was dated, it was written in the 1960s. Doris Lesser from The Golden Notebook, who, what did she get
here? Doris Lessing.
Lessing, thank you. Want to read the quote, my darling?
Oh, it says, free we say, yet the truth is they get erections when they're with a woman they don't give a damn about, but we don't have an orgasm unless we love him. What's free about that? So interesting, because Caroline and I talked about this before, and we thought, you know, this is kind of strange that, you know, this book says the more that you have, the more you're in a relationship, sorry, can you please describe it? Read the thing.
The more that you're in a relationship, it's almost like getting back to what he said in the first bit, practice, practice, practice. It makes perfect. It feels way better. Where sometimes with a one-night stand, you don't feel really good afterwards, where you can have a really great time during, and if you have an orgasm, it's lovely, but a lot of times, a lot of women don't. And whereas if you're actually involved, it just makes...
Yeah, I think it's like that emotional attachment, right?
It does.
And it's so important. And I know that, I mean, I'm speaking from my experience and from what I believe, and that is that, you know, emotional attachment adds to sexual experience. And the more that you have sexual experience together, the more you're going to be attached and have, like, emotions running through you and spirit running through you. And the more you're going to be able to be relaxed and orgasmic, but also that your partner's going to get to know what you like and know exactly when to press those buttons at the right time, right? So, but I do think that women need some kind of connection. I mean, that's the truth. And I that's a big T-truth for me. So we like to cuddle and talk before we have sex or feel connected, whereas guys like to have sex so that they can connect. You know, so they need the sex first, then they feel connected. Women need the connection first before they have the sex. So that's kind of a lot of times why we butt heads and why we have issues. And it's like, I'm not quite sure what Mother Nature was thinking with all these jokes that she's played on us. But
I'm not quite sure either.
Anyway,
yeah, and actually what's really interesting in terms of all this is the fact that with the whole emotional thing, just going back to the book Satisfaction, is it's written by a couple. It's by Kim Cattrall and her husband. And it's, I'm glad you had me read it, because it's one of the best books I've read in terms of things to do, and it's really simple. It's it's in layman's terms, which for me, where I don't have all that vocabulary, I actually understood it, and it was a lot of stuff. I wish I had a partner right now
to try. You know, and I when I did the show before, I was just raving about this book because it has these fabulous line drawings, and the line drawings, because it's so hard to see what's going on inside of a woman, right? There's the clitoris, which is quite tiny, and you know, this like this vagina, and then there's a G-spot inside, and there's all these things happening. There's the anus, and when you've got like, you know, they're trying to show you how to do a thrust or trying to show you how to do like a lick with a finger thing. What the heck? You can't see what's happening. You can't see what's happening in porn. Even the best sex education films and books don't have this kind of thing. And I've never seen the line drawing idea before. So I just think it's amazing. I highly recommend you get it if you're a lover of women. And so, yes, Satisfaction. The Art of the Female Orgasm. So I think I think that the biggest issue between couples, and that's short-term recreational, new lovers, and long-term couples relationships, is that many people fear that telling the truth is going to hurt their lover, or that it's going to result in a conflict that's going to be extremely damaging. And this is often a source of great anxiety, and it's a theme that reoccurs in like all aspects of life, really, and in your relationships. And I suffered that problem with my last relationship. I just didn't feel like I could tell him that he was totally an unskilled lover, and had no, like, I didn't know how to say that nicely, and I didn't know how to go about teaching him. And whenever I did try to give him hints or something, he'd take it so badly that I just stopped doing it. And then our sex got really boring, and he was complaining about it getting boring too. And I mean, that's the first time in my life I've ever heard that from any lover. So, you know, what was wrong there was that I was too afraid to hurt his feelings and didn't want to communicate. So, you know, what's the solution? Well, women need to feel comfortable about bringing up the subject of sexual satisfaction, and men or their lovers need to make them feel safe in order to let this happen. So you have to create this safety as well, guys. You know, honesty and openness from both partners is absolutely key to mutually fulfilling sex. And I think that men, I have to say in particular, should be patient and calm when faced with what they may feel like is criticism. Mm-hmm. Same with women. Ultimately, they're going to be very rewarded for their willingness to listen and to respond to their partner's needs. There's absolutely going to be, like, yeah, you're going to get what you're looking for.
No, definitely. And just try not to compare them to an old lover. Like, not just my ex-boyfriend did this.
Yeah, women, yes, women don't.
I mean, a woman, I'm sure you can relate. If a guy said that to you in regards to, say, you know, my ex-wife gave, you know, the best head ever kind of thing, you're probably not going to want to give them head again. So it's the same thing. So just put yourself in their shoes where if you're suggesting it because you've had somebody who's really good, just try and say, well, I really like it when you do this, or I read this really cool book, like Satisfaction, and I got really turned on when I saw all these exercises, and I think it could be kind of fun to try. I'm just approaching it that way.
And I think before we go on the break, I just want to talk to lovers that are feeling that they're unskilled, or that don't maybe have the skills that a particular new lover wants them to have, or they are asking for new and exciting things or whatever. And that is that if you're not like what Kim Cattrall calls an artist, you can be one. And once you start to get it and it starts to feel like it's you, that you can relax into what's happening and not have to think so much about what the skill is that you're trying to apply, and you just really get into the movement with each other and the love you're feeling together, it can be really powerful. So she's saying every man can be an artist if he decides he wants to be one. It just requires intent and practice. So she talks about the material in the book being like color on an artist's palette, and it's up to the lovers to paint the picture. For the man to paint the picture, the woman is the inspirational guide. Each woman may like some of the techniques in this book and not others. For sure, Caroline, in the second half of the show, Caroline and I are going to talk about some of these techniques and the ones that we don't like or like, just so that you know that not everyone likes what Kim's written about, what works for her, right? So every man and woman has his or her own touch, rhythms, emotions, and each time you make love, the man can bring forth a new experience for his partner and for himself by being this artist. The key to bring a woman to total fulfillment is to pay attention to what she's telling you with her breathing, her body, and her words. So, and again, I said earlier in the show, starting with gentleness is always best. You can easily intensify, but a rough start can derail the train, totally. Ask her to tell you if she wants added intensity. It's much more erotic, like I said, to ask for more rather than less. But it's better to ask for less than to suffer, like Caroline and I are saying that it does. So the most important thing for a man is to tune into the woman through her responses. Is she moving towards you or pulling away? Is she lubricating more or less? Is her breathing fast and shallow or very controlled? Through these and other signs, a woman conveys her responses, and her lover must be ready to listen to them. So that's how we're wrapping up the first half of Women's Pleasure tonight on Juice Box. And do your thing, Caroline.
Well, we're going to... Sorry, I wasn't sure if we were looking at reading from another book or not. Anyway, it's a really good time right now. Boy, we're taking a short break to give us a call. So tell us your stories and wish us happy Valentine's Day. Give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604 604 UBC CITR. And keep that dial locked, and you are in Juicebox, featured on CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM. We're going to be right back.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, well, well.
Oh, yeah,
it's
baby.
It's time to get my freak on.
I'm ready to burn.
Hot, hot, hot. Sweat, sweet. Wet, wet, wet. Red heat. Touch, touch. Hot, deep. Sweat,
dark.
Sweet. Wet, wet,
bed.
Wet. Red.
I missed. Don't get pissed.
It was bad for me. Was it bad for you?
It's over. It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
Juicebox is a sexuality for adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I had to play that twice because I interrupted it in the middle of it with like turning off the button because I'm such a good engineer. Anyway, not my forte.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, welcome back to Juicebox. Thank you for listening.
And if you're just joining us now, we're talking about the art of female pleasure.
Mm-hmm. We have a little PSA here for a good friend of ours who was on the show last week. That would be Chiron, and he is working this weekend. Is it from... What does it say? Okay, hold on. Maryse Cote, a well-respected local tantra teacher, is offering a 40-hour tantra and sexual healing certification training at the magical and secluded Xenia Retreat Center on Bowen Island.
Oh, so nice.
And this is from April 20th to 27th. So it's going to be really amazing. Go to her website at sacredsexsecrets.com. That's www.sacredsexsecrets.com. That's Maryse's website. You can find out all you need to know about the training. But it's designed to sort of basically give the participant a practical understanding of tantra, Taoist tech teachings, working with sexual energy for self-healing and empowerment, cultivating sexual energy for optimum health, and fostering an alchemical transformation of sexual energy to open the door to spiritual experiences. And that's what sex is all about, as far as I'm concerned, is finding that spiritual evolution. And I haven't really even practiced doing that yet, but hopefully if you find a lover who can... I mean, the point is that you can probably do it yourself. We should talk about doing the masturbation thing as well.
Definitely.
But yeah, you can get there. You can get there. You can do tantra by yourself for sure. I think it's just a little bit more powerful when you're partnered because you're working with that microcosmic orbit. If you want to know what that means, look up Tantra, and you'll find out.
I may have to do that after the show.
Okay. So basically, we were talking about art and being an artist's palette, and a woman's body is the palette, and you have to have this toolbox. And so it's really important if you want to be a good lover of women, to give women amazing pleasure, is to be a skilled lover. So if you're not skilled yet, figure it out. I mean, sexual technique is like musical technique. You have to be proficient enough to create the fullest expression of the living act. So like music, okay? However, the musician who never gets past technique never really plays music. Similarly, the lover who thinks primarily about technique never really makes love. So it's important to take time to try to feel what's right for you and your partner, and then you have to let yourself totally go, both of you, moving your hips back and forth, arching your back, like let your body loosen up and express your feelings, you know, through freer movement, through touch, through communication. Really tune in, and you're going to find your own rhythms. Be a musician with your lover. Play his or her favorite music, and it will become your favorite music, too. And that was Kim Cattrall speaking in her book, The Art of Female Orgasm. Satisfaction, it's called. So we were talking about oral sex. Oral sex is really the biggest thing. The clitoris is easily accessible with the mouth. We know the mouth is much more sensitive than the fingers and the penis as far as like figuring out what you're doing and how you're applying pressure or not. And you can do so many more creative things with it than any other part of the body, mm-hmm. than with your tongue and your mouth and fingers combined or whatever.
I think a lot of people have neck issues or tongue issues
or something cramping or whatever. So there's a basic position that works really well.
There is. One of the best ones is actually having whoever is performing the oral sex kneeling down in a kneeling position, having your partner who is getting the oral sex basically lying on their back on the bed, open their legs up. And basically, so in that way, when you're kneeling, you're not getting your neck clenched. And
so the kneeling can be on the floor while your lover's on the bed, mm-hmm. or you can get one of those really cool wedges now where it's like it props you.
What those are for.
Yeah, and those wedges are really cool. You can make them at home. You just get dense foam from whatever place you get dense foam from, and you can cut a wedge mm-hmm. and make this wedge, and it's really comfortable, especially for people that are getting older or people that have that are disabled in some way or something. The wedges are really amazing. Mm-hmm. But like, just, you know, drag your lover down to the edge of the bed, get down on your knees on the floor, and your neck will be totally comfortable, and you can totally do this for a long time. Plus, the woman can really relax, which is so important mm-hmm. with pleasure. With female pleasure, you have to be able to relax. It's like really important. I mean, getting the shit banged out of you can also be really hot, and it's not exactly relaxing. But boy, do you feel relaxed after. No,
that's true. The orgasm is wonderful.
Oh, and just getting the shit fucked out of you is really good.
Especially the whole caveman fantasy.
Oh, my God.
It's so hot.
I really need it hard and fast sometimes, I'm telling you. I'm getting all wiggly here.
Same way. Actually, I was going to say as well, even if they're actually sitting on their face, sometimes, like you're saying, it's nice to be relaxed sometimes with it. Where, although I have to admit with the sitting on the face factor, it's kind of nice because then you can rub yourself the way that you want to be rubbed. So then that way I just always worry about suffocating them.
I have the same problem worrying about suffocating them. I recently, with Dan 3, I had I had a really hot oral sex experience for the first time sitting on his face. And it was really hot for him, too. And, like, I was just doing what I liked because I feel so comfortable with him that I'm able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, which is part I've discovered of why it's so pleasurable for me to have sex with him, is that it's so I'm so comfortable. I'm just, like, I can do whatever, and he totally celebrates that. So I've never really felt so comfortable before, and I think that's making it a big deal. So really, female pleasure, like, it's so important that you feel comfortable with your lover, and that may take months, you know, and hopefully you guys can feel comfortable right away and sort of just be really open with each other. And but for a lot of people, that shyness takes a long time, and I'm a lot more shy than I seem.
That's true. I've known this girl since we were kids.
Yeah, and so when it comes to sex with me, I'm very shy with my personal life, and so anyway, sitting on someone's face, I feel like I'm going to suffocate them too, but yeah, it can be really hot. And so for the person underneath, you know, just kind of hold steady. I think it's kind of like, if the tongue is out, just kind of hold steady, and like, or the lips are kind of pursed out, just like let her kind of do her thing on you. And if you need breath, then kind of push your ass away from your face, you know, something, or move your face so that you can
have
kind of
a hand signal,
like peace or whatever, help.
the white flag.
Yeah.
Rescue me.
So anyway, okay.
But it's true. And sometimes I wonder if maybe that's why, I know for me, it's harder to come for moral, because I feel guilty, because it's like, I feel terrible where I know it's taking so long to come, and I'm worried about suffering, and either that or dislodging their jaw or their tongue if I get too
wild. That's my problem too.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been doing hard enough work for long enough, and I'm aroused enough that I'm having intercourse is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm like, I feel guilty. Exactly. And for the men in my life, actually, that I've known that feel guilty about receiving receiving oral sex, they also can't come easily with oral sex because they feel guilty. And it's just so fucked up. It's like, we've got to stop feeling that way. It's ridiculous. Like, our lovers will stop doing what they're doing if they want to, if it's something that's, you know, and often people want to do that hard work because they want to get you off. Mm-hmm. And that turns them on a ton. And then they feel really good about themselves because they got you off. And, you know, sure, it's work. I mean, oral sex is often work for whoever's performing the oral sex. It can be work. And that's okay. You know, it's the good work.
It's true.
It's a good fight. Anyway.
No, and one of the other things I was going to say is, I remember last week when you were talking about having oral sex with Dan, and basically about, we were talking about the monologue from Hair, and about the fact watching his tongue going through the hair, and it was kind of unusual at the beginning, but I don't know about you, but I like watching.
Yeah, you know what? Watching is actually really key, and many women do love to watch their lovers going down on them. And this is actually highly recommended because eye contact can be established frequently. Mm-hmm. And eye contact is really important, and it also increases intimacy. It actually increases your spiritual energy that you're experiencing as well. And so it's really, really important. And I also think, like, letting her lie still and luxuriate in the experience. And, you know, like, because men kind of find it hard to do their best if the woman's bucking hard. But oral sex can be more exciting for both if she's moving her hips when she feels the impulse. So these subtle movements, she can position her clitoris where she wants it, or indicate that she'd like him to lick her lips for a while and direct him back to the clitoris, focus on a certain point, like one side of the clit or another, which is, for women, often the right side of the clit is way more, there's way more thick, dense nerve endings on the right side of the clit. Doesn't matter if you're right or left-handed. It's on the right upper end of the clit is where most of the densification of nerves are. So she may want to just move you in and out of that spot, depending. So you know, bucking the hips a little bit is nice, and, you know, having a woman move is good, and some men do like that, but which encourages him and turns him on. And but it's, like, kind of hard sometimes to, like, get the buck in the face or the teeth knock, but but then you just, you know, girls, take it a little easy, you know, he's trying to do his best, or she, whatever. And
or have them kneeling on the side of the bed and try it that way, as opposed to always sitting on the face, or, you know, or, if you start losing your balance when you're sitting on their face.
Yeah, I see up. I'm all about luxuriating. That's what I'm looking at. Laying back and have the pillows propping me up so that I can watch.
I like that, especially if you've got a mirror of some sort. Enough women don't watch their vaginas anyway. I was amazed how many women don't look at their own vaginas in a mirror.
Their vulva. Vulva. And it's hard to see the vagina without a speculum. But
I'm going to need to see it one day.
Yeah, I can get you my speculum. You can boil it and use it. But yeah, the vulva. So one of my friends who's a tantrika, she's amazing. She's been on the show many times. She masturbates with a mirror so that she can make love to herself, like, really much more beautifully, and, like, watch herself getting off. And it, like, really intensifies things. And so part of female pleasure, of course, is a very big part of it, is masturbating and learning what you love. And if you can see yourself in the mirror, then you can kind of get a sense of what that movement is if you have a hard time kind of understanding it, you know, whatever. So you can see visually and then just get yourself turned on by watching yourself be turned on. It's like you can make your own porno.
You could. And not have to worry about anybody putting it on the internet. Yeah. There's so many different ways, actually, and I love this book. If readers, or readers, listeners out there, if you get a chance, I think it's because I'm reading, so I just get excited about this stuff from this book, the Satisfaction book. It's got so many tips in it. As I was going through it, I got really excited, and I half wish I had a partner in my life right now that I could actually practice on, or get them to practice on me.
And my favorite thing I learned from this book
was the circles, hey?
Yeah.
It's just sounded amazing. The clitoris responds quickly when the tongue draws circles on its surface. The smaller the circle, the more his tongue will stimulate the tip of her clit.
I don't necessarily like. Really? I mean, only a little bit, then back off right away.
Yeah, it gets sensitive, so I can understand that. So that makes sense. The wider the circle, the more the tongue will stimulate the base of the clit and the surrounding area, and she will most likely prefer some of each, which with you, you're saying just
a touch. I like some of each. And this book shows you, like, right on the clit bud, which I think for a lot of women is way too sensitive. Mm-hmm. But I think that Kim's just trying to show you
exactly where it
is, where the clit is. And but these circles are little, and I think if you go around the whole clitoris, so like on the sides of it, mm-hmm. down below the tip, and then along the top of it, along the sides, and kind of use that larger circle, and then go smaller, and just watch her response, you know, and listen for the response. And alternating directions is really important, but I think that a lot of women like it in one particular direction, and the circle direction is very important.
And some of this you might be able to try during masturbation as well, mm-hmm. if you pick this up and you don't have a lover right now, just to kind of get an idea of what you like.
And that's what I did, and it was amazing when I had my first, like, real orgasm. Masturbation experience in July of this past year. I read the circles thing, and mm-hmm. so I tried the circles, and then I was like, oh my God, these are amazing. So then I was able to tell my lover, like, I like circles, you mm-hmm. know, so. And then there's the figure eights. Figure eights, a little technique that you have to learn, boys and girls. This is a really difficult one, but you can get it going. Again, you can practice on your finger, but it's basically in a figure eight, like a paintbrush, drawing around the clit. So it requires a lot of control, but it can be, you know, learned quickly. And so one figure eight per second is fine. And then alternating clockwise and counterclockwise can be very powerful.
And interesting with doing any type of figure eight, if you've got a background in kinesiology, if you know anything about it, the whole brain gym factor, you're trying to do the figure eight along your finger.
I'm trying to figure it on my finger right now, and it's, like, really hard.
It actually, for the person who's actually performing the figure eight, it actually balances out both sides of your brain. So it actually helps you focus on things.
Good for your brain.
Which is very good. Another benefit to performing figure eights on the clitoris.
Uh-huh. Well, there's the up and down flicks. I think we know a lot about those. A lot of guys tend to do that one.
As well,
the left,
right.
The left, right. But the man, again, or lovers of women, you can practice by looking in the mirror and putting the tip of your tongue just in between your lips with your teeth parted and your lips curled slightly inward, and move your tongue back and forth as if you're licking your lips. And this can, like, feel the motion on your fingertip as well. And when, like, for a lot of men, I think they stick their tongues out way too far, and then they get tired, right? So really important to just, like, utilize your lips, utilize your teeth, keep your tongue in a little bit more. You can just sort of open your mouth and not have to stick it out so much and do all that extra work. You know, there's so many different techniques you can try to reduce the amount of work and pain it might be causing you. Really important to practice, like pushing folds of her labia around with your teeth or your lips, and like sucking on the clitoris. I'm really big on sucking. Little sucks. And I don't know if you know that there's this new masturbation tool. I've got to find it and
what
buy it, but it's basically this little cup that's like a little suction thingy, mm-hmm. and it does like a little on a woman's. Like, so you basically put it on your clit, and it kind of sucks it out. And so sucks it out in a very soft way.
Wow.
And you can do them different harder ways as well and faster. And so it's the newest masturbation tool, but it was actually originally used for women that had arousal problems.
Okay.
So basically it would help to bring blood into the clitoris, which is really like vasocongestion, which is what an erection is all about, mm-hmm. vasocongestion. So you're getting a clitoral erection. So this little thing that would like... and suck away at your clit and pull the blood into it would help women become more aroused and help things lubricate and just bring the blood where it needs to be. So very powerful. And now you can buy it as a masturbation tool. So
I wonder if Alaska sells that for mass sex ed with a twist.
Cause I've got to find it. I haven't found
it yet.
Google
her if you're interested in it.
What is it?
Sex ed with a twist. Alaska.
Okay.
Because she's actually a nurse as well, so she actually knows on quite a few different levels in terms of the sex toys that she sells.
Yeah, lips and teeth are really important.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Using the teeth gently, obviously, but just like sort of grabbing the whole clit with the whole kind of vulval and area in the clit and sucking it into your mouth, and then using like maybe the back of your tongue to flick back and forth.
Mm.
That one's one of my favorites.
That sounds amazing. I don't think
hot.
I've ever had that.
So the clitoris is pretty magical. It does this twitching thing, which is one of the ways you can read it. Read what's going on with the clitoris.
I was amazed when I reread this book that apparently it moves up and down, because I've never actually had gotten to see it during.
Yeah, well, you haven't gone down on a woman, so.
No.
But I've noticed that, and that's a way to read. If you tune in, you can feel that. Is it pulsing or twitching, and how to get that response, and. Basically also letting you know that it might be too hard what you're doing, because mm-hmm. it retracts. But lots of things about the clitoris will speak to you.
No, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We haven't talked much about fingers, and we only have about 10 minutes, so maybe we should get into positions, because I don't know about you, but for my personal female pleasure, it's all about intercourse.
It's true. Or with masturbations, in terms of if you are going to use fingers with it.
I haven't really come that way. I came that way once last week, actually, for the first time with using my hand while I was being penetrated. I've only come, and most women come like that really easily. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of the way they do come when they're being penetrated. They'll use their fingers and hands while they're doing that. It's not something, I don't know, I can't access what I need to access somehow, or my fingernails are too long, or I don't know, but...
I usually use two fingers.
Never works.
Inside and the heel of my hand, actually, at the very top, and two fingers around my ass, just if I need it, but usually definitely two fingers inside.
Very nice.
And not direct stimulation on the clitoris, because it gets way too sensitive. Yeah.
So what's your favorite position then, Caroline?
Definitely missionary. I know I sound just classic and boring, but it was neat when we compared notes earlier. Yeah. And interestingly, it's the first one listed in Kim's book here.
Yes. Well, they're suggested positions, and it's the first one. I basically, she's saying to be, so she gives you tips on how to enter after oral sex and, you know, should read the following. After coming in your mouth, she may like a combination of being held closely and having vigorous intercourse, during which she really feels your penis inside her and the strength of your body on top of her. And now that her G-spot is really hot and engorged, use your penis to continue stimulating this spot. Well, other women need it to you to give them a moment to rest and be gentle.
I'm one of those.
Yeah, so, and I would be too. I would love to have an orgasm orally and then have penetrative sex. Oh, my God. Someday. Anyway.
I'm the exact opposite. I need my rest for about 30 seconds to a minute and a half.
I need some rest, too. But the missionary position for me, like, I can come so fast with missionary position. It's definitely my favorite. I don't know if it's because the pressure is stronger, and I don't know, especially when they grab your ass.
Yeah, and
spread your ass cheeks a bit and just, like, drive right into you and, like, do, like, really close to your body and just kind of just grinding. It's just a grinding thing, like a rocking grind that doesn't actually take much energy.
I think it's also because of the nipples for me. I know sometimes I'll rub my breasts against their chest because there's the stimulation there, plus on my clitoris, because if I'm spread that far apart where they're grabbing my ass, I can rub myself completely against them, like you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But that plus the nipples.
Oh. The nipples, the breasts and the nipples. I'm telling you,
it's
the
hot.
Breasts and the nipples are, like, so key for me. If you want to get me off, it's, like, pay lots of attention to my breasts before, during, and after. Let's talk about, if we want to talk about, like, the art of female pleasure, mine, it would be like after play is so important. And people just forget about that.
They do.
And we're so heightened after our orgasms. Like, our skin is alive. Our nipples are erect. Everything's engorged. And men included, it's like running your fingers over each other and your hands and touching and rubbing and, like, you know, just gentle things and blowing air on parts and... You know, maybe a little suck and then an air blow or something, so that it's just a more of a gentle
movement. Just
more
pleasure.
And just the afterplay, really important.
No, it's true. I think that's one of the reasons why one of the positions that she suggests is girl on top, but the guy is lying flat down. And I wasn't a huge fan about that, personally, like where she's sitting directly up. Me personally, I like rubbing my breasts against his chest and actually leaning over when
being
I'm riding
in a chair.
A man. Yeah, or being in a chair, because then that way it rubs against my clit as well when I'm inside and just kind of, it hits my G-spot a lot better on the inside. So it's almost instantaneous, which I think is why I like playing the whole, what's it called? Do you ever play the role-playing thing where you pretend you're teenagers and...
No, I'm not much of a role player.
Oh, I'm a huge role player. I like playing little schoolgirl, and I like being in, like, the teenager in the front seat of the car where you sit on the passenger side on your partner and ride him. You just have to be careful because of bruising your knee with the seatbelt.
Oh, my God, you're hilarious.
I've bruised my knee so many times, but I can come so easily in that position. So it's interesting.
You know, the other day, I don't know, I was having really hot sex all weekend, and then I was having sex on Monday.
Yeah.
I had the strongest orgasm of my entire life on Monday.
That. What made it so strong in comparison?
I don't know. It's too personal. I can't talk about it.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I have to draw the line. But at one point, I squeezed my breast, and my nipple popped. This fluid came out of it.
What?
Like this little clear, like kind
clear
of a bit cloudy, whitish fluid.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? And like, my lover was like, what's that? I was like, oh my God. So like we licked it off and both of us licked it.
Yeah.
And then I Googled and figured out, like, not right away, obviously, but after, I was like, what is that? And apparently, I mean, in tantric sex, they talk about this, that our nipples, actually men too as well, excrete a fluid, but it's such a small amount that we never notice it.
Wow.
And often we'll just taste it as maybe salt on the skin and we won't really notice that it's, you know, our sweat or whatever. Mm. We won't really notice. But apparently that fluid is quite commonly there. It's just that I think I must have been having a lot of sex over the weekend, so it's full of fluid, and oh my God, oh my God. Okay, you have no idea. I think I'm getting a Valentine arrived here.
This is so cute. We've had an unexpected guest.
And he's drunk, which I love.
And flowers.
He's got alcohol breath.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Dan 3 is right here right now.
Oh, my God.
Wearing practically nothing but a G-string.
And he's doing a strippogram. I love it. And he's got something in that package, Julia.
Oh, my God.
I think it's pretty hot, whatever
it is. What is in the package?
I never thought a man in a thong would be as hot, but this is pretty sexy. So let's see what's in the package.
There's a package.
We need a drum roll, and he's rubbing our shoulders. God. This is very hot.
You're
oh my gosh.
So funny.
He brought chocolate. I can live vicariously. Thank you.
Honey, you are so. Do you need a ride?
So
you need a ride
sweet.
Home, darling. You are so.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Look how cute.
That
was he was just wearing
sweet.
A G-string.
I love it. I've seen guys in aquamarine thongs, but your dad looked way better than the scary one I've
I want to know where he got that, because we've been dating for 4 months and I've never seen that.
And maybe he bought it today for Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And
he
flowers.
Bought roses.
What a sweetheart.
Red roses.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. That's what all that wrestling was. It was all the saran wrap from that. That is so nice. Or not saran wrap, whatever it's wrapped in.
Well, I guess that's a good way to end the show.
That's a great way to end the show.
With the man inside the booth giving me flowers and chocolate and naked.
Well, almost naked in a thong.
Yes, exactly. Women having sex in the booth. Don't worry. Don't fire us from the show.
I love the fact that the package of chocolates was heart-shaped and it was in his crotch.
In his crotch.
It was very
covering
sweet.
Covering his large penis. Fabulous. Yes. Good job, Dan. Dan 3.
Well,
you're fabulous.
Finish off. I don't know if you want to this is a little excerpt
Perfect.
From the vagina monologues. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you ladies, but when you're getting something really good, you should tell your lover. You should tell them by moaning. And moaning is good. And most people like to moan. And here is a monologue. The woman who loved to moan. And we're not going
to
read the whole thing.
Because
we're just
going
we
to
do... But we're going
to
discuss different types of moans. If you want to see the show, you should totally check it out. I highly recommend
mm-hmm.
it.
May 3rd? Oh, no, March 3rd.
March 3rd at the Wise Hall.
So this person felt bad about moaning. And she got kind of quiet. And she became a moaner. And she sort of did all these things. And discovering this key, like unlocking the vagina's mouth, unlocking this voice, this wild song.
And she got off on other... She liked making other women moan. The character in the monologue is a dominatrix who makes women moan. She makes mm-hmm. them find their own moan in front of them.
So she talks about, she's like, she talks about the kinds of moans, and Caroline said, we have to do this, so here we go.
We may need to lower the volume.
Oh, yes, right.
First, there's the clit moan.
The vaginal moan.
Oh.
The combo clit vaginal moan. There's the pre-moan, just a hint of sound, like kind of like a, and then there's the right on it moan.
Oh!
My God. Okay, then there's the elegant moan. No. I think it's more like something like that. The Grace Slick moan.
I think we lowered that volume, Julia.
Okay, the wasp moan.
I just gave one, but I don't think anybody heard it.
No, there's no sound. The semi-religious moan, which was something. I don't know, a Muslim chanting sound. I didn't know what that was. But how about a mountaintop moan?
Yole, yole, yole.
Oh, my God. The baby moan. I have to do this one.
You gotta do that one. The doggy moan.
The uninhibited militant bisexual moan.
The machine gun moan. The tortured Zen moan. What is that?
A twisted, hungry sound. I don't know.
We don't know what that sounds like. If you guys want to call in and send us one next week, that'd be great. The diva moan?
The diva moan. The twisted toe orgasm moan. That one for sure.
I cramped my ass.
I do. And finally, the surprise triple orgasm moan. I can't do it.
I can.
All right.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, one more.
Stop, Caroline. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. Yes, yes, thanks for listening, everyone. I have to tell you that the art of female pleasure was really fun for both Caroline and myself. She's in the other room recovering. We're going to be back next week with another original Juice Box. And in the meantime, please feel free to email us at julia@juiceboxradio. Stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour coming up next on CITR. That's 2 hours of eclectic music with the very sexy Marion. Thanks for listening to Juice Box Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
Julie, come join me.
Oh, my God.